Well, let's get in the Word this morning. I've got a Word here for you today. We're going to jump in Genesis chapter 22 this morning. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. We're going to read about Abraham. I love Abraham. Sang a lot of songs about him when I was a child. I used to help my mom with the kids' music, and she played guitar, and I got to learn all the kids' songs along with her, so I can sing them off the spot right now. But Abraham was a big one. We sing a lot about him. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. If you want to stand up for the reading of the Word this morning, let's jump into it. We're going to do a little reading here. Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. If you are there, say amen. Amen. And it says, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. And then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As he said, To this day, in the matter of the Lord, it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand in which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. And we're going to stop there here this morning. Father, we thank you for your word today, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for us just being changed by your word this morning. Father, I just thank you as we get into this morning. I thank you for things being sparked by your spirit, prompting by your word, God. So, Father, I thank you that we're going to leave changed by your word today. And we just thank you for your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I want to talk about an extremely important word. And that word is obedience. And when we think of that word, that's probably not one of our favorite words to use, right? We're okay with it when we talk about our kids or maybe somebody else, but when we talk about it with ourselves and talk about obedience, it's probably not one of our favorite words to use. And I want to say this morning, that God has called us to a life of obedience. Not only obedience, but he's called us to a lifestyle of reckless obedience. That we would obey him and do what he says, no matter if it doesn't make sense, it doesn't make sense, sister, we don't understand it, that we'd obey his word and walk in obedience, in a reckless obedience unto him, because we trust him and we love him and we take his word to our hearts and believe on him, that we'd walk in a reckless obedience before him. And I just want to say this today, that when you recognize that God is your father, the best day of your life, when you recognize that God is your father and who he is, and that he wants to bless you and he wants the best for you and he wants what's right for you, and that you are his favorite, your picture's on his refrigerator, that God wants what's right for you. And if you are obedient to him, I'm telling you, you're going to experience and receive God's best for your life. You will experience his best for your life. And in scripture we see this connection between obedience and receiving God's blessing in our life. We see this connection between God's best and us learning how to be obedient to him. In other words, our obedience brings God's best in our life. We see this connection. And one of the ways that we show our appreciation, our love for God is through our obedience. It's how we express our appreciation and our love is through our obedience. And I think as believers today, I think all of us, we should get in the Word of God, open it up and say, is my life adding up to what your Word says? Is it adding up to what you're speaking to me, what you're calling me to do? I think we should open up our Word every single day and begin to open it up and say, God, is my life lining up to what your Word says? In other words, is the attitude of my heart lining up with your heart? Is it lining up to what you're speaking to me, to what you're calling me to do? Is my life lining up to who you are and what your Word says? And you find when you pray that prayer, it's not going to be a one-time prayer, but it's a prayer that you pray every day. That says, God, I belong to you. Lord, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you direct me, God? Help me to take your Word and to renew my mind so it would transform my life so I think like you, so I talk like you, so I walk like you, so I can express your goodness and your heart to the world around me. God, help me to deny myself, to pick up my cross and follow you, to crucify my flesh and to follow after you. God, let your will be done and not my will in my life. That's really what it means to be obedient, to give up your will for His. And that's really hard for us because we live in a world today where we see the TV and we see maybe the news or the ads or the messaging and the images that all say, you do you. That's what they all say, you do you. If it makes you happy, you do it. Do it if it makes you happy. You're number one. You got to take care of you. So you do you. But I believe the Christian life is not about just you doing you, but it's about doing what God says and His Word says. It completely contradicts what the Bible is and what it teaches. It actually is sinful when we live that with that mentality and that lifestyle. When I'm obedient to God, it brings God's best in my life. It brings God's best in my life. There's a connection. And it's not up to God for me to experience His best, but it's up to me to experience His best. A lot of people say, I want God's best in my life, and I'm waiting on Him. But the truth is, God already gave His best. When did He do it? 2,000 years ago when He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. He poured out His blood. He gave His one and only begotten Son for you and me. He gave His very best for you and me. So it's not up to God if we experience His best, but it's up to us if we experience His best. Where I take the Word of God and I find out what His best is for my life, His will, His plan, His agenda, His purpose for my life, that I discover that God's ways are the best ways. His ways are the best ways. You know, God's not some controlling dictator. He's not like forcing us into obedience. I think sometimes we got this mentality of God. Like, you know, there's my fourth grade teacher, I've told this before, but we had a paddle that was called the motivator. And it hung up on the chalkboard. And you could see it if you acted up, you're going to get motivated. And that thing actually broke. It broke on somebody, used it on somebody. So there's motivator number two. He brought out, just sitting right up there. Sometimes we look at God that way, think He's got the motivator. It's like, you better obey. I'm going to motivate you. Force us into obedience. But that's not God's heart. That's not who He is. He's not a controlling dictator. He's like, I want the best for you. This way is the best way. This way is life. This way leads to prosperous ways. This way is abundance. I want the best for you. I want you to live in a blessed life. If you go that way, it's a path of destruction. I want what's best for you. And God gives us a choice, a free will. He doesn't make us robots. He's like, before I play blessing and cursing, life and death, you get to choose. And He tells us the answer, choose life. Choose life. You get to choose if you experience God's best or not. It's not up to God, but it's up to you. If you take His Word and apply it to your life and walk in His ways and walk in righteousness, it's up to you if you experience it or not. It's not up to God, but it's up to us. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to walk this out, to empower us. He sent us His Holy Spirit. He filled us with His Spirit so we can walk out obedience. We can't do it in our own flesh. The flesh is weak, but the Spirit is willing. But He gives us His Spirit that empowers us so we can walk this out. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit, if you're walking with Him, you've got to yield to Him. Sometimes He may say no. Not that He's trying to withhold something good from us, but He's trying to protect us. He's trying to guard us from something bad coming in our lives. Sometimes He says no, or wait, or stop. Sometimes He'll say no to the relationship because He's trying to keep your heart. He's trying to protect you from somebody who has no intentions of committing themselves to you. Or maybe He says no to the job. And it looks like a great opportunity. It looks like you might make a lot of money. But in the long run, God knows it's not best for you. Yeah. And it's our responsibility to yield to the Holy Spirit in those moments that we hear His voice. It's up to us if we walked in His best. And I think sometimes we can grieve the Holy Spirit. He's like, don't go that way. That's destruction for you. That's going to be pain. That's going to be brokenness. I don't want you to go that way, but I want you to go in life, and I want you to go in my ways and what I have for you, my best for you. That's not my best for you in your life. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, but it's up to us if we yield to Him or not. God's best in my life is not up to God, but it's up to me. If I experience it or not, if I experience life, if I experience His best for my life. Jesus said this, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll obey me. Do you love Jesus today? I mean, do you really love Him? You love Jesus. My concern is I think some people are just in love with the idea of loving Jesus. Like, the idea sounds good. We're in love with the idea of just loving Him. Or I'm concerned with some people, they're in love with the idea of Jesus that they've recreated in their own mind. That walks like them, that looks like them, that talks like them, that acts like them. Do you love the real Jesus, the Jesus we see in the Bibles, the one we see in the Scriptures, the one that's laid down His life for us? Do you really love Him? Because sometimes we can be really good going through the motions. Like we can be really good at the articulation of worship. When we say, God, I worship You. God, I love You. God, I exalt You. God, I magnify You. God, I surrender. God, I give You everything right now. We're real good at the articulation of worship. But if we don't obey Him and His word, then our praise is really worthless. That's what Jesus did. He confronted a group of people and said, you worship Me with your lips, but your heart is far from Me. Really, your worship is worthless. It's not about saying all the right things, but if you love Him, you're going to obey Him. God doesn't read your words, He doesn't read your hands, but He reads your heart. What good is your praise without your obedience? In other words, God's not interested in your lip service, but He's interested in your obedience, because your obedience is a reflection for your love for Him. And when you understand that He's a good God, that His intentions towards you are good, that He wants to bless you, He wants the best for you, it's easy to obey Him, because He loves you. He wants you to take the path of life. It's easy to obey Him when I know His heart and I know who He is and He wants the best for me. He's just trying to protect me. Jesus, in John chapter 14, I'm going to read this scripture here in John 14 and 15. Jesus is talking to His disciples. It's the night before His crucifixion. And He's laying down some heavy stuff. I mean, He's laying it down. He's talking about one of them is going to betray Him. And they're all looking at each other, looking at themselves like, I hope it's not me. I hope I'm not the one. And the night before His crucifixion, He says this. I'm going to read out the Amplified version. It says, if you really love Me, you will keep and obey My commandments. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby, to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive and take to its heart, because it does not see Him or know Him, but you know Him because the Holy Spirit remains with you continually and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless and helpless. I'll come back to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see Me, but you will see Me because I live. You will live also. And on that day, when the time comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father, and you are in Me, and I am in you. And the person who has My commandments and keeps them is the one who really loves Me. And whoever really loves Me will be loved by My Father. And I will love him and reveal Myself to him, and I will make Myself real to him. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, Lord, what has happened that you were going to reveal yourself to us and not the world? And Jesus answered, if anyone really loves me, he will keep my word teaching, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling place with him. One who does not really love me does not keep my words. And the word teaching which you hear is not mine, but is the Father's who sent me. I told you these things while I'm still with you. And if you look at this, you see Jesus repeating himself. Anytime you see Jesus repeat himself in a passage, you need to pay attention. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my teaching. Anyone who doesn't really love me doesn't keep my teaching. So if you say you love Jesus and you don't obey him, then do you really love him? That's the question. I didn't ask it. Jesus said and asked it. Do we really love him if we don't obey him? If we look at this, it says no. If we don't keep his commandments, keep his teaching, keep his word, if we don't obey him, then we don't really love him. And Jesus models us something in this. Jesus is like, the things that I say, I don't say it on my own, but everything I say is what the Father has told me. Everything I do is because what the Father has told me to do. That are the only things that I do. Jesus is modeling obedience for us. Obedience. I'm not here on my own will, my own behalf, but I'm representing the Father, and everything that he tells me to do, I'm going to do. Everything he tells me to say, I'm going to say. Not my will, but your will. Jesus models us obedience. Obedience to the point of even sacrifice. Sacrifice that might cost you something. Might cost you friendships. Might cost you something in your life. He models us obedience. And I want to say this. Obedience to Christ's commands is both a sign and test for your love for him. It's both a sign and test for your love for him. The fact that you're here today is a sign that you love Jesus. The fact that you're watching today is a sign that you love Jesus. The fact that you lifted your hands in worship this morning and began to praise him and lift up his name is a sign that you love Jesus. But not only are there signs, there's also tests. A sign is I lift my hands in worship, but the test is when I give my money. It's obedience. Am I going to obey his word? I say I love him, but am I going to be obedient to the test? There's not only signs, but there's also tests. We tell Jesus that we love him, we appreciate him, and he enjoys it. That's a sign. But as believers, if we really love him, we should be passing the test or trying to pass the test. You know, I love my wife. I really do. I'm going to start preaching right now because of how much I love her. Shout it down. And I try to communicate my love to her. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be better at it. Once in a while, I say, hey, babe, you're looking good today. Your hair looks great today, babe. Or sometimes I don't pick up on it. She's like, do you know anything different about me? I'm like, is this a trick question? Should I right now? Yes. I try to communicate my love to her. That's a sign. But the test is when I get off work every day that I come home every day. That's the test. Love includes tests. If you say that you love somebody and only include the signs, at some point you're going to have to pass the test. If you love Jesus, if you say that you, at some point you're going to have to pass the test. Am I really going to do what he says and what he stands for? And the test doesn't reveal to God what you love, but it reveals to you what you love. You need the test. You need it. God already knows what you love, but the test reveals to you what you love. And your life always communicates your love. It always communicates your love. You're here today, and I can tell you why you're here today, because you love Jesus. And your life communicates your love. You're watching online. I can tell you why you're watching, because you love Jesus, and your life communicates your love. And if you don't know what you love, I can tell you to check two things. Check your calendar and check your bank. If you are confused and conflicted about what you love, check your calendar, see what you're doing, and check what you're spending your money on. Because your life will identify what you love. Your life always communicates your love. It says, if you love me, you obey me. It says this in 1 John 5:3, it says, "For the true love of God is this, that we habitually keep His commandments and remain focused on His precepts. And His commandments and His precepts are not difficult to obey." They're not difficult to obey. It doesn't say perfectly. Anybody here do it perfectly? I do not do it perfectly. I don't. It says habitually. Does that mean every single day that I'm doing my best to be obedient to God's word? Every single day, habitually, I'm doing that. It says we remain focused on His precepts, His will, His plan, His agenda, what is right. And it says His commandments and His precepts are not difficult to obey. What a thing to say. Not difficult to obey. Because when we look at the old covenant, the old Mosaic law, that was difficult to obey. 700 different laws, you break one, you're guilty. That is difficult to obey. But in the new covenant, Jesus sums it up to this: to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He sums it up to that. That he says it's not difficult, it's not burdensome to obey, to keep my commandments, to keep my word. I want to show us a key in Deuteronomy. I'm going to go there and read this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It gives us a key to our life. Some of you may know this scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. It says, "Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying Him, and committing yourself firmly to Him. This is the key to your life." This is what it means when you choose life. It means I'm going to love the Lord God more than anything or anyone in my life, with everything that's within me. I'm going to love Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. With all that I am, I'm going to love Him. And secondly, if I love Him, I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to obey His word. I'm going to obey His commandments. I'm going to obey what He says, even when it doesn't make sense or I don't understand. I'm going to have a reckless obedience to Him. And I'm going to commit myself to Him. It says this is the way you choose life. This is the key to your life. Is when you love God, you obey Him, and you commit yourself to Him. It's that simple. Love God, obey Him, and commit yourself to Him. If you want God's best, love God, obey Him, commit yourself to Him. If you want blessing, His blessing, love God, obey Him, and commit yourself to Him. This is the key for your life. If you want God's best, His blessing, if you want to walk in the way of life, to choose life, He says, this is the key. You say, you know, why don't I have blessing in my life or God's best? You can't ignore what God says and just do your own thing and expect God's best in your life. But you've got to be obedient to what He says. If you want to walk in blessing, be obedient. If you want to walk in God's best, be obedient. Love God, obey Him, and commit yourself to Him. It says this in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, "The Lord says, come, let us talk about these things. Though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though through your sins are deep red, they can be white like wool. If you become willing and obey me, you will eat good crops from the land. But if you refuse to obey, and if you turn against me, you will be destroyed by your enemies' swords." It says if you're willing and obey, you'll eat the good crop of the land. You'll have a harvest in your life. So you eat of the good crop of the land. If you're willing and obedient, not just on Sunday, but on Thursday and Friday, you're willing and obedient. On Tuesday night, I'm still willing and obedient. But it says if you're not, you are going to be destroyed by your enemies. That's what it said, by the enemy's swords. Some people are like, well, God's going to get you. He's going to strike you down. He's going to destroy you. He's going to mess up your life. No, God's full intention is for you to have His best. He wants good for you. He wants you to be blessed. That is not God, but there is an enemy looking for an open door to steal, kill, and destroy in your life. When you open that door of disobedience, the enemy wants to come right in and mess up your life, bring destruction to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what happens when we walk in disobedience. Destruction can come in our lives. Being obedient to God brings God's best and blessing, but being disobedient can bring destruction, and God's not the one who's causing that. We do have an enemy who's looking for an open door to bring destruction in our lives. Going back to Genesis chapter 22, I know I've kind of done this backwards today. Got to mix it up once in a while. Genesis chapter 22 is an illustration of Abraham and Isaac and their reckless obedience. I mean, God speaks to Abraham. He says, Abraham, you're going to be a father of many nations. You're going to be a father of many nations. But the problem was he didn't have any kids. He didn't have a son yet. So time goes by and the promise hasn't happened and they take it in their own hands. That never goes well when you try to make it happen. And Sarah's like, why don't you take her? And he hooks up with her. Then they have Ishmael. And that's not what God promised. But they realizes and recognizes the promise is going to come through Sarah. So Isaac comes forth and everything's going great. Everything's going wonderful. And all of a sudden God's like, hey, I want you to offer up your only son Isaac on the altar to me. He's like, wait a minute, God. It's like, this is what you promised me, my one and only son. This is my promise. He didn't say that, but I would have said that. But it says he gets up the next morning and he begins to prepare the donkeys and get everything ready. I'm sure he didn't sleep that night. I'm sure it was weighing heavy on him all night long. He's like weighing this out, couldn't sleep because of what God had told him to do, what he's got to do. And he's preparing everything and he goes in Isaac's room and he opens up the door and he's sleeping there on the bed. I can't imagine as a parent just thinking, just staring there, what you're going to have to do in that moment. And he wakes him up and then, sure, lovingly, and tells him we got to go. And he's like, where are we going to go? He's like, just come on. And then he begins to prepare the wood for the sacrifice. I mean, how can he do that? Obedience. Reckless obedience. I mean, he begins to prepare everything, gets all the servants together, gets the donkeys together. And they begin on a three-day journey. That's a long time to go. That's a long time to talk yourself out of what God had told you to do. God can say something to me, and like 5 minutes later, I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's kind of crazy. But he has 3 days to contemplate this, to think about this on his journey to the place of sacrifice. I'm sure nobody was talking, but I'm sure he was saying in his heart, Lord, that you are good. I know you're a good father, and none of this makes sense to me right now. I don't like it. In fact, I hate it right now, but I'm going to surrender to you. I'm going to be obedient to you, God. I trust you, and I believe in you. I'm sure he's saying that within his own heart. And they get there after 3 days to the place of sacrifice, and Isaac breaks the silence, and he's like, where is the lamb? And Abraham knows that his son's going to be the lamb, and he's like, where's the sacrifice? And he's like, the Lord's going to provide. And we know the story that Abraham lays him on the altar, and he begins to pull the knife, and God stays his hand and says, stop! Stop! See, the most beautiful thing about this is that 2,000 years later, God sends his Isaac, Jesus, who took the wood, the cross upon his back and took what, like Isaac did. But what God withheld from Abraham, he didn't withhold from himself. Why? Because of his reckless love for you and me. And any God that has a reckless love like that, I'm going to be recklessly obedient towards. And I'm sure the reason why Abraham didn't tell his wife Sarah, because Mama Bear would have came out. She would have been like, what'd you do with our son? Are you serious? That ain't happening. He didn't tell her. I'm sure he didn't tell his servants because they're like, you've lost your mind. You're going crazy. Are you serious? You're really going to do this? I'm like, you've gotten reckless. He was recklessly obedient. You know how you have God's best in your life is become recklessly obedient. God honors reckless obedience. When we surrender our heart to him and have reckless obedience, God honors that. I want you to see something at the end of this, the promise that God makes. At the end of the text, he says, because you did not keep back your only son from me, I make you this promise by my own name that I will surely bless you. I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Why is that? Because you obeyed me. You obeyed me. God's best is connected to our obedience. And it works in every area of our life, when we walk in obedience. We see it all throughout Scripture. Our obedience is connected to God's best. Our obedience is connected to God's blessing. And I want to walk in a reckless obedience where I trust Him, even when I don't understand. Just like Abraham. He didn't understand, couldn't make sense of it, but it's like, I'm going to trust you. I believe you. In exchange, God gave him something better. He gave his one and only son. God is looking for an opportunity to bless us, to blow our minds, I believe. And when we obey him, we don't come out worse. We come out better. We always come ahead when we obey God. Every single time. And I want to pray for us this morning. If you want to stand today. So I want to ask this question this morning. What is something that maybe you're keeping from God that God wants you to let go? You know, the beautiful thing about Abraham, it says that God says, you didn't keep anything from me. You didn't even keep your only son from me. Because of that, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you my very best. I'm going to bless you because you did not withhold anything from me, your only son. What is an Isaac maybe in your life you need to lay at the altar this morning that maybe God says you need to let go of today in exchange for something better, God's best in your life? Something you need to lay down this morning. You can ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is something in my life? Reveal to me. Maybe something I need to lay down. And in that moment, you're not going to receive your best, but you're going to receive God's best when you lay it down before Him. What is an Isaac you need to lay down at God's feet? Lay down at the altar of God this morning. What is something you're maybe keeping that God wants you to let go this morning? We walk in just a reckless obedience and trust in Him and believe in Him this morning. Let's pray today, Father, that you'd help us to see and reveal what we're holding, God, today. Lord, teach us to surrender to you, God, so we can receive your best this morning, Jesus. So we just lay it at your feet this morning, God. Lay it down at the altar today. We want to be obedient, God, and to your word, to your ways, to your heart. We want our life to line up to what your word says and to your heart this morning, Jesus. So we just lay it down this morning, Jesus. I thank you today that this is a group of people that are going to be recklessly obedient. Even when it doesn't make sense, you can't figure it out. People may think it's crazy, but we just love you and believe you and trust you enough that we're going to walk this out, God. We're going to believe you. We're going to trust you. We're going to obey you because we know your heart towards us, that you want the best for us. You want us to be blessed, God. You want us to prosper. You want us to experience life and to choose life. So today I can just confess over your people that we are a bunch of reckless, obedient people today. We're trusting you. So we thank you, Father, today. Thank you, Jesus. Is anybody here this morning that says, you know what, I want to receive Jesus in my heart today. I want to accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I just want you to lift up your hand this morning. I just thank you, Lord, for blessing your people today, God. I thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you today. We're saying we're choosing life this morning. Lord, reveal the areas of our hearts that maybe we need to adjust today, God. And Father, I thank you as we continue to walk in your ways and walk in your word, we're going to experience your best, your blessings, your life today. So today, I just confess over us that we are group of recklessly obedient people today. Father, I call your people blessed this morning, Jesus. And Lord, we just love you and we thank you in this place today. Father, thank you, Jesus, for these things. In your mighty name, amen and amen.